Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends. I'm so glad to have you back here for another episode today of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. I have a question for you. Have you ever felt invisible? Have you ever felt that no one cared? I imagine that's how Hagar felt. Hagar. I bet you're thinking, I know that name from the Bible, but I'm not really sure who she is. Maybe her name is not quite as familiar as some of the women of the Bible. She was a maidservant to Sarah, Abraham's wife. I'm sure you're remembering the story now. She is the maidservant that Sarah gave to Abraham to give him an heir. They were not waiting for God's plan and rushed ahead. They used Hagar. Hagar was Egyptian. Her name could mean fugitive or immigrant. Back in those days in ancient Eastern culture, slaves were obtained in a number of ways. Sometimes they were captives from war, particularly virgin women. The Bible talks about that in Numbers 31. In Leviticus, the Bible says men and women and their children went into slavery to pay debts. Slaves could be purchased as well. In Exodus, the Bible says that sometimes people went into slavery voluntarily. In those days, if you were a woman and you didn't have a man in your life, it was basically a death sentence. Women didn't have the same rights and were not recognized like men were. You know, back in those days, women probably did feel invisible and that no one cared often. In that culture, men had a large amount of power, and women and children may have been dominated or oppressed or even abused. Abraham once lied and said Sarah was his sister to save his own hide. Then later on, Isaac did the same thing. If women were suspected of having an affair, they could be stoned to death. But there's no mention of what happens if a woman thought her husband was unfaithful back then. It was truly a different world for women. Often in the Bible, people's names were changed. Sarah and Abraham were once known as Sarai and Abram. The story of Hagar takes place in Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar, so she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." Back in their culture, men might have many wives and also concubines. There are cases in the Bible that are descriptive and not prescriptive. And what I mean by that is the Bible describes the culture of that time, not what God is prescribing or what God's idea in this case was of marriage. Back in Genesis 2:24, the Bible says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." God's perfect plan was for man and woman to become one and to have a family. I also learned that if a wife was barren, it was her responsibility to get her husband an heir. So Sarai took things into her own hands. Under the law, Abraham could have taken another wife, but then the child would not have been Sarai's because she owned Hagar. She also owned the child that she would bear. But what about poor Hagar? The Bible doesn't say that she was even asked or told what was going to happen to her. And when she became pregnant, she resented her mistress. Her baby would belong to Sarai. She was used and abused. What reaction do you have when you find yourself in a situation over which you have no control? Helpless? Frustrated? Hurt? I've felt all of these in my life when things were happening that I could not control. God's always faithful, and He's right there waiting for us to go to Him in prayer and to surrender the situation to Him. But we have to do our part. Forgiveness is a big part of it. If we don't forgive others, it's like drinking poison waiting for the other to die. And what about their household after this happened? Did this make problems for Abraham? I can only imagine the clash of these two women. And Sarai was the love of his life. What did it do to their relationship? She needed to do this for Abram, but Abram needed to not do this for her. In Genesis 16:5, the Bible says, "And Sarai said to Abram, 'May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me.'" Was this Abram's fault? Abram was the one God made the promise to, that he would make him a father and that his descendants would be like the stars. Abram didn't wait on God. And when we don't wait on God, we get into a lot of trouble. I speak from experience. How about you? Because Sarai was so mean to Hagar, she ran away out into a barren desert. That says a lot to me. There was no provision for her out in the desert. So what it meant? What it meant was that she would rather die than live in that situation. Have you ever been that desperate? Many years ago, I was in an abusive marriage, and I didn't want to kill myself, but I remember driving home from work, looking at the trees, thinking that would be a good tree to hit. That's desperation. After my double mastectomies and 3 painful breast surgeries, I was left with a nerve pain illness. I didn't want to commit suicide, of course, but there were days I just didn't want to wake up. I had conversations with God. I can't live this way in pain for the rest of my life. Then, after the worst thing that could ever happened to our family, after we lost our son, Bradley, 3 years ago at the age of 21 in a skateboarding accident. It hurts to be alive some days. I won't lie to you. God got me out of that abusive marriage. I've been married almost 34 years to Scott, and he is the most wonderful, caring husband. I've been rescued. My nerve pain is a daily struggle, but not one that I fight alone. God is always there, and He helps me. I've been reminded recently that I need to keep praying that my pain would subside. I guess I've kind of accepted it. I feel like it's my thorn, like Paul had a thorn. My pain is my thorn. Everything that I say and do is filtered through it sometimes. I can sit to eat my favorite meal. It's filtered through pain. It's like, wow, this is good, but I'm hurting. Wow, this tastes great, but I'm hurting. It affects every corner of your life, every part of your life. And if you live in pain, my heart goes out to you. I understand what that's like. Well, as far as getting over Bradley, there will never be any getting over that kind of loss. All transparency, we had a birthday party this weekend for my great niece, and when Bradley didn't walk in the door, and when Bradley wasn't there, it hurt my heart in a way that I can't even describe. I shed some tears this weekend, but God puts his big old arms around me and holds me close when I hurt. He's always there. He gets me by one day at a time. And if you've lost a child, I pray that you find your comfort in the arms of Jesus. He's our only hope. They say that as time goes on, that gets easier. I'm not sure I truly agree with that. Sometimes I think that we're better swimmers when the waves of grief come. Still, there are times that I find myself hopeless because life will never be the same without my Bradley. Those grandchildren I thought I would always have, they weren't meant to be. That's a big pill to swallow for this grandmother. One reason Hagar's name might not have been so familiar to you is that Abram and Sarai never called her by name. But when the angel of the Lord appeared to her in the desert, that was the first thing he said. "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai." That's just like God. He knows the answer. I'm so thankful that we have a God that asks questions. What if he asked you today, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" He wants relationship. He knows those answers, but he wants you to tell him. He wants you to cry out in your pain and let him know what's going on. She said, "I'm fleeing from my mistress." He called her by name. He saw her. God is always working a plan. The angel of the Lord told her to return to her mistress and submit to her. He also said that he was going to multiply her offspring. When God makes a promise, he always keeps it, and he had made that promise to Abram. This boy was Abram's son. The angel said his name would be Ishmael, and that he would be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. You see, when we get ahead of God's plans, we really mess up things. As you know, later, Sarah and Abraham have a son named Isaac. He was the heir that God meant for them to have. And because they got ahead, there is fighting between Israel and the radical Muslims, the descendants of Ishmael. It still affects our world today. The Bible says that Ishmael would be like a wild donkey. I did a little research on that. Wild donkeys are smaller. Often people think of donkeys as stubborn, but actually they're stoic. They freeze when they're threatened with fear or pain, and they have a strong sense of self-preservation. They have a memory like an elephant. They don't forget anything. They don't forget past experiences, whether good or bad. Our neighbor had a donkey that was mean to the horses and would bite the horses on their backside. Finally, the donkey had to leave. I can't help but wonder if maybe one of the horses had nipped him on the behind and he never forgot it. Ishmael felt that he should have been the rightful heir of Abraham as the firstborn, and it caused a lot of problems that still persist today. Do you have family members who, like Ishmael, live in hostility? How do you respond to them? And what can you do to improve your relationship to them? I know God wants us to show kindness, to forgive. That's not as easy as it sounds sometimes. As Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story of Abraham and Sarah. In Genesis 21, beginning in verse 8, the Bible says, "And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, for she said, "Let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy, and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And the boy was with God, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with a bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him in the land of Egypt. There were many similarities between Ishmael and Isaac. They each had 12 sons. There were 12 tribes. God was with both. God loved Isaac, and God loved Ishmael. In the desert, don't you know that Hagar felt hopeless? But God comforted her. He brought her water, and he made her a promise about her son having many offspring. Then he was with Ishmael as he grew up. Think back. What ways has God met your needs when you were despairing and alone? I think back to the year 2011, when God took two incredible trials in my life and slammed them together. I had breast cancer and melanoma. And my best friend had embezzled money from our business, and she went to federal prison. My third breast surgery and her sentencing and going to prison all happened within 4 weeks in November of 2011. I was so desperate, but there was nothing that I could do but trust God. Sometimes it's easier when we get to the bottom and we have no choice but to trust God. No matter the case, any time I've ever called to him, he's always answered. He's blessed me in my life when I've remained faithful to him, even when I didn't want to. Have there been times when you've done that? When you were so hurt and frustrated and helpless, but you did what God wanted you to do anyway, and you found a blessing there? God loves us. God sees us in the place that we are, even in our lowest place, even when we are the most desperate. And I wonder, was that well of water right there already, but she didn't see it because she was in such despair? God showed it to her. How often has God shown us a way out? He's always there and he's always faithful. God sees us. There is a song that Nicole Mullen sings called "The God Who Sees." There are lyrics about Hagar, and I'm going to share them today. Hagar was a single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to, and there in the wilderness with her son alone, with very little provision, she was wondering, she was questioning, "Does anyone care?" She's crying in the desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, "I will be a ring of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. And the power of my presence will bring her to her knees, and I will lift her up again, for I'm the God who sees. I'm the God who sees. Then he speaks in gentle whispers, and he softly calls her name. She feels his arms enfold her as he holds her, and she'll never be the same. 'Cause I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true. And when this world deserts you, this is what I'll do. If you're desperate, if you feel alone, God sees you. God sees you, and he will bring you grace in your wilderness. Look to him. He has a plan, and he's got you. He's holding you safely in his righteous right hand. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust him, and may his river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.